Yes, today's Bible reading is from the New Testament. It's from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. And if you want to follow it in the church Bible, you can find it towards the back of the book on page 177. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting to read at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Zilla. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to the dads. Happy Trinity Sunday as well. It is Father's Day, and I just thought I'd share something that my kids gave me last Father's Day. This is called The Very Embarrassing Book of Dad Jokes. And you'll know that not only is there dad music and there's dad dancing, there is also dad humor. Let me share some of the highlights that have gone down well in our family over the last year. So dad rings up the school. "Why did you send my son home from school?" I just should just also say that dad humor isn't everybody's cup of tea. "Why did you send my son home from school?" "Well, actually, sir, he was peeing in the swimming pool." And dad says, "Well, all little boys do that." "Not from the diving board, they don't." So auntie says to Jimmy, "Jimmy, have some sweets." I'll have just one, auntie, thank you." "Oh, you don't need to be so polite, Jimmy." "All right, I'll just have one, you mad old bat." Boy says to mum, looking at a photo album, an old family photo album, "Who's that man there?" "That's your dad." "Then who's that bald fat bloke in the sitting room watching telly?" "Think about it." "How many jazz musicians does it take to change a light bulb?" "A one, a two, a one, two, three, four." "How many Anglicans does it take to change a light bulb?" "Change?" So this year we haven't, our 200th anniversary, we haven't quite changed the light bulbs. Actually, we have changed quite a lot of the light bulbs here in our church. But we have been turning up the dimmer switch here at Holy Trinity. We began our bicentenary back in October. and we lit up the church tower. And in a way, what we were trying to do with that was in some way kind of reconnect us to the original vision that the founder of this church had 200 years ago. He was a man called Benjamin Haig Allen. And he was the founding patron who, with his own money, built this church. And his desire was that the light and the love of God in a growing population in this part of Huddersfield would be shed into this community. And two centuries on, we want to be that kind of church still. We want to be a church that is a beacon that continues to shed the light and the grace of God to our parish and our town. And this week, this Shine Week, we're exhausted after the end of a really busy week, but it's been an incredible week. We think roughly somewhere between 900 and 1,000 people have come into our church over the last week. We've danced, some of us, not me, no dad dancing, I'm afraid. We've danced, we've laughed, we've played. We've got a little bit creative. We've drunk. We haven't got drunk, but we've drunk. We've seen some incredible magic. We've tasted. We've listened. We've been moved. We've sought to dispel some of the myths about what it is to be a Christian in the 21st century. We've sought to remind our community that there is a Christian presence here in this church. But it would be easy for us to think that this week has been all about Holy Trinity Church. Don't get me wrong, we love our church. It's a great church, and there's some special people here, just a few. 15 years ago, I was fortunate enough to go to Uganda in Africa. I went 3 times in 3 years. And at the end of each trip, we would go down to, we were doing mission work there, and we would go down to a little lake on the border with Rwanda called Lake Bunyoni, to an island called Bushara Island. And we were exhausted, and we would eat a little bit, and we would rest. And if you'll have been somewhere similar, it could even be in the UK, where you in the dark and the silence, you look up in the sky and you see the vastness of the sky, the kind of the dome, the expanse of God's heavens, the stars. Something a little bit like this. No, back. A little bit like that. Thank you. And, you know, on one occasion, a moon like that was our experience on Bushara Island. Stunning. And walking back through the narrow paths on the island to get back to our tent, being lit by this stunning moon. But of course, we know that actually the moon is not the thing that's shining. It's actually the sun that is shining on the moon. And the moon is the reflection of the sun's light. The sun is the star of the show. And this week hasn't been about us being center stage, I hope, but that we would be like the moon, reflecting the light of the sun. The Son of God, into this part of Huddersfield. In the passage that Zilla's just read to us, St. Paul, who wrote the letter, says that we don't proclaim ourselves. That's not what we're trying to do this week. That's not what we want to be as a church. We're not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We want to shine God's love because we believe that Jesus is Lord. In the book of Hebrews, the writer describes Jesus like this. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. Jesus is pure brilliance. He is iridescent in his beauty and his radiance. He is stunning in his magnificence. Albert Einstein put it like this. He says, I'm a Jew, but I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. Through this week of events, our prayer is that God's love, freely given and revealed in the person of Jesus, will light up our community, will light up the many, will bless our parish. But also that light is not simply for the crowd. Within every crowd are individuals like me and you. And the light and the love of God revealed in Jesus is intensely personal. He is for every single one of us. He's ready to illumine our lives and show us who God really is and what he's like. When we see how brilliant Jesus is, we see what God's like. You can't look at the sun. Do you remember the sun? There was a sun up in the sky once. I think it's still there somewhere. You can't look at the sun. If you do, you're blind. You'll be blinded. But you can look at Jesus. You can, St. Paul says, contemplate who Jesus is. And that's what we're trying to encourage people to do through start to open our eyes and our hearts to God's love revealed in his Son. If you want to see and you want to know what God's purity and his holiness and his beauty looks like, then look at Jesus. If you want to see how powerful God is, look at Jesus. He calmed the storm. He raised the dead. If you want to see how God understands your pain and your heartache and your brokenness, look at Jesus who wept as his friend had died. If you want to see God's love for you and his forgiveness for you, look at Jesus who laid down his life for you, who was nailed to a cross for you. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. And as we do that, God performs this incredible miracle. Paul in this passage says that the glory of God is made known and experienced in the face of Jesus. And that was Paul's story. Paul, who wrote this letter, his autobiography is kind of interwoven in this passage. We find out his story in the book of Acts. There was a guy called Saul. That's what he was known as before. That was his name. And he thought he was right with God. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. He was on his way to go and murder this dodgy sect who followed this mysterious preacher called Jesus Christ. He thought he was doing what God wanted. And then on the way, on the road, just outside Damascus in Syria, he's confronted with a blinding bright light. And Saul shouts, "Who are you?" And a voice comes and says, "I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting." And from that moment on, Saul's life was turned around 180 degrees. His life was changed. The Jesus who he'd been out to quash and to quell and whose followers he were persecuting now becomes Saul's Lord. The people who he despised and he wanted to eradicate became his Christian brothers and sisters. His mission, which was to destroy this church, suddenly became to build the church and to grow the church. And through him, the church spread. Saul's life was transformed. His name was changed because of this encounter. And the God who at the very beginning in creation spoke into the darkness and he said, "Let there be light," is now shining his light upon Saul, upon Paul, into his heart, and he's creating him. He's recreating him. He's making him a new creation as the light of his love floods into Saul's life. That's what God does. When the light of God comes upon us and shines in our heart, he makes us a new person. And the invitation of this week, the invitation of today, actually, is that will we pull back the veil or allow God to pull back the veil to remove, if you like, the blackout blinds that are over the windows of our soul and allow God in? Will we allow God to perform the surgery of removing the cataracts over our spiritual eyes to open us to the light of his love and to reveal to us who God is in Jesus? Will we let him flood our life with his light and his grace and his forgiveness? Many of you will have seen this this next picture. It's called The Light of the World by an artist called Holman Hunt. And as you can see, it's a picture of Jesus knocking at a door. And that door symbolizes a person's life. It's grown, overgrown with weeds. It looks like the door has never been opened. And Jesus is standing at the door, the light of the world, and he's knocking. And you might say, well, that's fine. But after all I've done, really? Would he want me? Would he be knocking on the door of my life? I love the fact that in this picture it shows that God is making the first move. God is not far away in the distance waiting for the door to be opened. He's there knocking in his son. And he's waiting for the response from the person whose life that door symbolizes. He's not going to kick down the door. He's not going to force his way into your life. But he's waiting for us to open the door of our hearts to let him in. We don't have to. But if we do ask him, it comes with a promise. This is a promise from right at the end of the Bible, where Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in. The promise is that if we will open our life to God, he will come and reside with us and be with us forever. There's nothing that can turn him away or put him off. He loves us. And he will change us. I love David's story. Thank you again, David, for sharing that. I just want to say that actually, when the light of God floods our life, not only does he make that liquid paler, he makes it clear. He completely eradicates the mess of our life. He does it as he shines the light of his love into the darkness of our hearts. So I'm going to pray as we come towards the end now. And when we pray, all we do when we pray is we just put ourselves before God as we are. I was saying at the earlier service that last year Steve and I went to hear Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, speaking. And you know, if you've heard Rowan Williams, he's a very clever guy with a very big brain. And I was a bit not sure how this was going to go. This is how Rowan Williams describes prayer. He describes it as like sunbathing. When we pray, it's like sunbathing. Picture it. How does it feel? When you sunbathe, you're not forcing yourself to get that suntan. You're not making it happen. You just put yourself in the light, in the sun, and let the light shine on you. And so as I'm going to pray now, and let's come with that attitude. Come ready. God is here by his Spirit. Let's open ourselves to him and let his light shine on us as we pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for a glorious week. Thank you for all the things that you've been doing in different people's lives. Thank you for what you've been doing in our lives. And we pray that by your Spirit now, you would come and flood our lives again with the light of your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, and illumine the darkness within us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and shine the warmth of your gaze upon us today. And for some of us, we will feel that we've actually stepped out of the light. Maybe we've known God, and it's like we've intentionally, or maybe through neglect, just stepped into the shade, into the shadow. We've maybe even turned our back on God. And for others of us, just with that picture of the Holman Hunt picture in our mind, maybe some of us have never opened the door of our life to let the light of Christ come in. And so at the end of this week, I just want to give that opportunity again for anyone to do that. And so all I'm going to do is I'm going to pray again, and if you'd like to echo these words, to say to God, I want you to come and shine the light of your grace and your love and your forgiveness into my life. Just as I pray, why don't you, in the silence of your heart, pray these words to God as well. Let's continue in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for all that I've done so wrong in my life, for keeping the door of my life closed to you. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. So please come and forgive me now. I receive that gift and I open the door of my life to you. Please come and flood my life with your light, with your mercy, with your grace, with your forgiveness. And thank you that you promised that you will be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus.